welcome to this week's Pulse Podcast. I'm Terry Rombeck of the Lawrence Journal World. You're listening to traditional music from Senegal performed by followers of the Sheikh Amadou Bamba. This week's podcast will talk about the art of Bamba's followers. That art is the focus of a new exhibit at the Spencer Museum of Art at KU. It's called A Saint in the City, Sufi Arts of Urban Senegal. After that, we'll tell you about some of the other events going on in Lawrence this weekend in our weekly Best Bets section. But first, we're joined by Gidi Salami. She's an assistant professor of art history and of African and African-American studies at KU. She's also the in-house curator for the Saint in the City show. Gidi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
First of all, just give us an overview of the show.
The show focuses very much on a Sufi saint whose name is Amadou Bamba, who functioned very much or was very prominent at the beginning of the late 19th and then beginning of 20th century. He was the founder of the Mourid Way, which is a brotherhood that is very dominant in Dakar, Senegal. So this exhibition focuses on the devotional paintings that the people of Dakar surround themselves with on a daily basis.
And tell us a little bit about his life.
He, as a saint, was somewhat of a, or as a follower of a Sufi brotherhood or Sufi way, he was very much a threat to the French colonizers in the late 19th century, and he was sent into exile for a period of time. He spent 7 years in Gabon and then 4 years as under house arrest in Mauritania. And because of that exile, and because he actually returned from exile, which was unusual, his prominence in the culture became really emphasized. And because of his survival of that exile, he was also very much associated with anti-colonialism, with sort of a resistance force in anti-colonial in that context of anti-colonialism, so he becomes a national hero as well. He is extremely important to the country of Senegal, and especially the citizens of Dakar, because the kind of philosophy that he espoused helped create a lot of prosperity for the country. As a nation, Senegal is not particularly rich, but when in terms of culture, spiritual depths that the people experience on a daily basis, and their well-being in terms of living in a state that they're very comfortable with, emphasis on peace, hard work, and people taking care of each other, all of those concepts are part of the foundation of the teachings of Amadou Bamba. So Amadou Bamba is very much associated with nationalism as well, because his ideas sort of promoted that kind of well-being.
And I understand his image is just everywhere in Dakar.
Yes, there is only one photograph of Amadou Bamba that occurred in a colonial text from 1913. And that photograph has basically been replicated, or versions of it have been replicated in the forms of any kind of painting or artwork that you can imagine. The photograph was taken while he was under house arrest in Mauritania, and it was taken in front of a mosque during a very hot day, and there are very stark shadows in this photograph. So his presence, his face is somewhat obscured, which adds to the mysticism of his person and his aura. And what is more remarkable is that one of his legs is completely in shadow, so you can't really see it. And the people of Dakar have interpreted that to mean that he had only one leg in this world and that his other foot was very much planted in the supernatural realm, which enhanced his credibility, basically.
And this is really a large exhibit, and there's certainly a huge variety of pieces within that. Walk us through maybe a little bit of the variety within it and how the different artists find ways to depict what they're trying to convey.
Okay. The exhibition starts with a replica of a huge mural that a man named Papisto has painted on a factory wall in Dakar in an industrial sector. And that particular mural is sort of his life's work, his contribution to the well-being of the people of the city, because he feels that as people look at his mural, which includes images of Amadou Bamba, but also images of any kind of national figure or international figure that he considers to have been empowered by Amadou Bamba. And he feels that the people, you know, as they walk to work, as they go to these factories, as they walk by that mural every day, that it provides them an opportunity to contemplate the nature of this life and the nature of their condition, but that it also allows them to receive some of the healing of Amadou Bamba because they're looking at the images of this saint. So it begins with a replica of that mural. It takes us through a section that provides information about how Islam in West Africa in particular has always, or since the 11th century basically, has interacted with the indigenous cultures that were in place. So in the 11th century, the Islamic, the Muslims were the most learned people in the world. And so their ability to write, to work with geometry, to work with numbers, with astronomy and all these kinds of things heavily influenced the indigenous cultures. So what we get in Africa is kind of a mixture of indigenous culture with Islam. The exhibition then takes us through the stations of the life of Amadou Bamba. There's a whole section in the exhibition that focuses on the importance of the written word. This relates to the notion that the Quran was written by God, not by people, and that the presence of the word of God can actually provide healing because it means that God is in your presence. And that involves various forms of divination, protective amulets, and also works by contemporary artists. There's also a replica of a street scene in Dakar, and it involves the kinds of displays one would find in Dakar that focus on items that relate to Sufism. And then there's a huge section on women, on a particular group of devotees, and there are works by several contemporary artists who are followers of the Murid way.
I get the sense that most Americans probably don't know much about Senegal or Sufism. Would you agree with that? And what role do you think that this exhibit could play in kind of educating a little bit?
That's a very good point. I typically find when I teach my courses on Africa that my students, when they first arrive in the lower division classes, said they can't name more than maybe two or three African countries, and usually that involves Egypt and South Africa, and that's pretty much where it stops. Senegal is certainly a mysticism to most people, and I would think that most people are not aware of what a sophisticated art world Senegal has, and also how close it is to the United States. It actually only takes about 7 hours to get from New York to Dakar, and Senegalese people have a huge presence in America. There are, you know, a zillion of them who live in Chicago, who live in New York, and the cleanup of Harlem a couple of decades ago is actually attributed to the presence of Senegalese and their philosophy of hard work.
And on a related note, obviously Islam's been in the news a whole lot in the last 5 years or so. Are there broader lessons to be learned, I suppose, from this when it comes to Islam?
I sure hope so. Part of the reason we wanted to bring this exhibition to Kansas is not only that we want to promote a view that there is more to culture and philosophy and ideology and all of this than Europe, which, you know, in America, our European heritage is always foregrounded, and we tend to forget that there were representatives of many other cultures here for many centuries that have also helped build the foundation of this country. So part of our aim was to introduce Africa to this particular museum, but the timing of this particular exhibition seems perfect because obviously with the war in Iraq happening, the image of Islam has been tarnished, and not only tarnished, I think there are really some things going on that are fairly despicable in terms of the kinds of conflation of the idea of terrorism with Islam. This exhibition hopes to correct that image a little bit, or not so much correct it as allowing people to make up to sort of assess what they think about where Islam really fits. Because the image of Islam and Sufism that is portrayed in this exhibition is really one of a peace-loving people who work very, very hard, and violence and terrorism is about as far away from their minds as it could be.
That was Gidi Salami. She's the in-house curator of the Saint in the City show. It's on display through May 20th at the Spencer Museum of Art at KU. For more information, visit spencer.ku.edu. Now here's some of what's going on in Lawrence the next few days. Indie rockers State Radio come to the Bottleneck at 9 tonight, Friday. They're playing a show with the New Amsterdams and Street to Nowhere. Emu Theater opens Damn the Maker, Trials of a Man-Made Man at 8 tonight at the Lawrence Arts Center. The show continues at 10 Saturday night. Brian Wendling presents a family concert at 9:30 Saturday morning at the Lawrence Arts Center. It includes comedy and juggling intended for children. Note that's juggling for children, not juggling of children. Sorry. Mellow pianist George Winston plays at the Lead Center at 7:30 Saturday night. The Right Between the Ears comedy radio troupe yucks it up with a show at 8 p.m. Saturday at Liberty Hall. And on Monday, Pete Yorn comes to the Granada for a show with Aqualung that starts at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's Pulse Podcast. We'll leave you with another traditional song from Senegal. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next Friday.